This morning we are continuing in a series called The Road Less Traveled as we look at Jesus' life and ministry as he was walking on the road. Not when he was sitting down and teaching, but while he was traveling, he had all of these amazing encounters. And so this week we're going to be in the book of Luke. If you would like to open up your Bibles to Luke chapter 9, verses 57 to 62, that's where we're going to be camped out for most of the service today. So if you want to follow along in your pew Bibles, it should match what's in front of you. If you brought your own Bible, we use the NIV here primarily, and so but we would love for you to join us there. And so this week we'll be looking at this final passage in Luke chapter 9 in which Jesus rebukes and corrects and gives some love to three men who came up to him and they all gave Jesus some excuses that they give him for why they cannot follow him. And so we're going to be looking at how this passage can, what these excuses are, these categories of excuses to avoid as we follow God, and then why this all happens. This passage shows us how difficult and the challenge to be one of his disciples. Because the people in those days, the Jewish people, a lot of them were hearing about Jesus the Messiah. Jesus the Messiah. And so they wanted Jesus to be the Messiah of their dreams, who is going to be a warrior, who is going to be a king, who is going to be a conqueror, who is going to be like King David. This is what they wanted following Jesus to be like. For it to be like following God in the Old Testament, where if you follow God, you will be blessed, as he protects you and expands your territory and helps you to take new ground and helps you to prosper in the land that you live and all these amazing promises. But when Jesus came to this earth, when God came and became a man, Jesus' encounters and his life was nothing like the people expected. Let's look now at Luke chapter 9, verses 57 to 62. The Bible says, as they were walking along the road, a man said to him, being Jesus, I will follow you wherever you go. Jesus replied, foxes have dens, birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. He said to another man, follow me. But he replied, Lord, first, let me go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Still another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first, let me go back and say goodbye to my family. Jesus replied, no one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. Three men and three excuses for why they couldn't follow Jesus. The first of them says, I'll go wherever you go. But Jesus says, well, it's going to be really hard. I don't have a home base, really. I don't have any place to rest. It's going to be dangerous. It's going to be risky. Can you follow me anyway? To the next, he says, follow me. Come with me. Follow me. And the man says, oh, that'll be fine, but first I got to take care of my father. I'm really busy right now. I'll be back and be available in 6 to 10 months. Is that okay with you? And Jesus rebukes him, telling him, the time to come is right now. Leave the dead to bury the dead. You go and proclaim the kingdom of God right now, with nothing holding you back. And the third comes up to him and says, I will follow you. But first, let me go back to my house. I got some people I got to talk to. I got to make sure they're okay with me coming with you. Three men, three excuses. And Jesus rebukes them all. Their excuses, they sound pretty valid. If their excuses were completely off the wall and ridiculous, we'd be like, well, what is Jesus? Of course Jesus is telling them, well, don't go feed your dog. Come follow me and serve the kingdom of God. But their excuses sound valid. they sound like this is good excuses for why they can't do it. But you have to remember who they're talking to. It's not to their neighbor. It's not even to their pastor. It's to God Himself. To the first man, he talks about the Son of Man. Now, back in those days, people knew if you claimed to be the Son of Man, you were claiming to be God, to be the Messiah. And they knew, this man then would have known that he's talking to God, and yet he's making excuses. The second two, they both called Jesus Lord, with a capital L, which means they're calling him God. And yet, they give excuses to the Lord that they claim to serve. I'll follow you, but first. Now, the text is not clear on if these individuals change their hearts and minds after giving excuses, but I truly believe that these three people who Jesus rebuked, although they knew and gave verbal assent to Jesus being their Lord, to Jesus being God, their own personal agendas were more important than following Jesus right then and there, and they did not become disciples of Jesus Christ at this time. They knew he was God, but they didn't choose to follow him. There are three categories this morning that we're going to be looking at to avoid as you follow Jesus. Three categories that Jesus tells us are wrong in the kingdom of God. If you are to decide to follow Jesus, then these three excuses, these three categories of excuses should not hold you back. I'm going to read it again, the text, verses 57 to 58. The first man and the first excuse, as they were walking along the road, a man said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. Now, if that was the end of the statement, this would be such an amazing testimony of the faithfulness of this man. And if we saw the rest of his story, we'd be so grateful that this man made a commitment and was happy to follow Jesus wherever he would go. But Jesus replies to the man, no one who puts a hand to the plow and looks, that's not right. Foxes have dens and birds have nests. They have a place to rest. But the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. I'll go wherever you go, Jesus. And Jesus says, I don't know where I'm going. And wherever I go, it's not going to be a place of rest and comfort, of safety and comfort. The first category of excuses to avoid as you follow Jesus are those of comfort and safety. I'll follow you, Jesus, but only if we've got a 5-star hotel lined up on the mission trip. I'll follow you, Jesus, but only if I don't have to talk to anybody I don't know. I'll follow you, Jesus, but only in Wauseon. I'm not going to go up to Michigan. It's easy for us who live in a very comfortable and a very safe society to say to Jesus, I can't do that. Unless it's comfortable or safe. Let me give you an example. When I was in college, my younger brother told us that he was going to go on a mission trip. We're like, oh, that's going to be awesome. You're going to go to Tennessee and serve at an orphanage, or you're going to go to the inner city and you're going to minister. And he's like, no, I'm going to China. And he told my grandma this, and my grandma has been following the Lord all of her life. She's been so faithful. She really encouraged me in my walk. But she looked at him with the biggest eyes I've ever seen. And she screams when she's aghasted. The only time I ever heard this besides this day was when we would play basketball and we'd get fouled. And she said, that was terrible. But she would screech so high it would be louder than what it sounded like when Danica put her mic in front of the microphone. That was grandma. And this is what she said. This is just this huge scream. What do you mean? China? On a mission trip? Evan, that's not safe. Now, she's a worrywart. And she was so worried the entire time that he was in China that she was nearly sick the entire time. Because she was worried about if he would be comfortable and if he would be safe. Her baby boy,
aka her grandson,
across the world. Worried if he would be safe on the plane. Worried if he'd be safe sharing the good news to people when they were telling the powers that be that they were teaching English, but they were sharing the gospel in this big city in Guangzhou, China. And if they would be safe as they went up into the mountains and reached these unreached people groups who've never heard the gospel before, if they'd be safe, if they'd be comfortable, if his hotel room would be okay. And you know what? It was nasty and there was rats and there was cockroaches and all these things, but they were fine. It wasn't safe completely. It wasn't comfortable. But you know what? They went and followed Jesus. And grandma was trying to come up with every excuse under the sun how to get her baby boy home and not to let him go. She did the same with me when I wanted to go to India. She said, why would you go to India? What is there that you can't do here? Well, there's a whole lot there where I can't do here. It's going to be risky. It's going to be dangerous. There might be persecution, but I don't care. I'm going to follow Jesus. She tried to convince me not to go to India, and now she tells me, I'm glad you didn't listen to me, because I met Ashley, and the Lord changed my life in so many different ways beyond that. She's like, I'm so glad you didn't listen to me and you went on that mission trip, even though it wasn't safe. And you know what? It wasn't safe. But following Jesus isn't always safe or comfortable. And he tells us, follow me. Follow me. You may not have a place to rest. You may not have a place of comfort and safety, but if you follow me, it doesn't matter. Because I will give you a place of eternal rest as you follow me and serve me. I will bless you abundantly more than you can ever ask, dream, or imagine. It just may not be here. Christians have been going all around the world for years. For hundreds and thousands of years, going and doing risky things. Missionaries leave and are sent, and they go to places where they often don't know anyone. All they know is that there's people here who don't know the gospel, so we must go. There's people here who don't know the gospel, who hate Christians, so we must go. People do that all around the world, and they also do it here in the States. They go and do what's hard because they are willing to do what's risky instead of what's comfortable and safe. Has there ever been a time in your life when you used an excuse of comfort or safety to deny following Jesus? I'm not saying you're turning your back on Jesus completely, but has there ever been a time in your life when maybe you felt a prompting to give someone a phone call during the middle of the day and you made an excuse, I'm not going to do that because I don't want to bother them. Or when you see someone on the side of the street and you're like, oh man, I feel like I really should help them and care for them, but you know what? He's probably just scamming the system and I don't really want to talk to him because it might not be safe. We're somewhere in downtown Toledo. I don't want something bad to happen to me. So I'm not going to talk to him. We make excuses all the time about how it might be a little risky, how it might be a little bit uncomfortable, and so we don't serve and we don't follow. First category of excuses for not following Jesus is comfort and safety. And we do it all the time. The second category comes from the second man. He says, the Bible says in Luke 9:59-60, he said to another man, follow me. But he replied, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. Sounds like a great excuse, right? Oh, my dad just died. I got to go bury him. To us, that's what the text reads. But that's not really what a lot of people think it actually means. Because back in those days, it could take up to a year to bury a person who died. And it was a common excuse in those days for especially the oldest child to give to someone to say, I'll come once my dad dies and we bury him. Then I will come and do this. What's likely this man is saying is that my dad's still alive, but I gotta care for him. He's sick and ailing, and I love him, and I want to care for him and his estate and get all those things settled. But then after that happens, I will come and follow. Now that may take 5 to 10 years, but that's fine. I will follow you, just not right now. And Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Let the dead bury their own dead. Not the physically dead, burying the physically dead, but the spiritually dead, burying the physically dead. Anyone can choose to take care of your sick and grieving, your sick and ailing father, but only you right now can follow me how I am calling you to follow. Jesus is saying, your father is sick, and I understand that. But I am calling you right now to serve me. I'm calling you right now to serve me. Someone else can help you. Take care of your father. You should do that. That's still important. But I'm calling you to go and proclaim the kingdom of God right now. The second category of excuses to avoid as you follow Jesus is those of timing. The man is saying, I will follow you, but right now is a bad time in my life. I've got other things that I've got to do. But by saying to Jesus, I will follow you later, he's showing the lack of true commitment. Following Jesus, following God, should take precedence over everything. And when he calls us, we should say, I will follow you now. Not I will follow you, but first, I will follow you now. Because when the Lord calls us for a certain time, at a certain time, he may have an opportunity lined up for you right now. That may not be the same later. But today, as believers, we make excuses all the time about how tonight, right now is a bad time. You know, I can't do that right now because I've got something coming up that I really am, it's going to be hard, and I'm going to go through it. I've got surgery coming up. I can't serve you, Lord, because I have this going on. After that, I will serve you. I can't serve you right now because I'm just really busy with my season of life, with my grandkids. They've got sports games, and they got stuff like that. I can't serve right now because I have to go to those. When this season is done, then I can serve. I can't help you right now because my kids are little, and so I don't have any free time and margin, so I need to sleep in on Sunday mornings because it's the only time I get to sleep in. I can't serve you right now because this is a... Not right now. I'll read my Bible next year. I'll pray for you next week. I'll reach out to you this to my stranger who asked, to my neighbor who asked for help, you know, next month when I'm more busy, even though he's asking for help right now. We say so often, I'm not busy, I'm busy right now. And it's true, we are busy. But the Lord doesn't often care if you're busy or not. He wants to know, will you follow me when I call you? When I call you, will you say yes? Not yes later, but yes now. Because Jesus calls us, I truly believe this, he calls us to reach people who may or may not be open at all times, who are likely not open to receive the gospel and to receive Jesus' love and care and affection at all times. But at this certain time, you may have an inroad. The Lord has prepared their hearts and He's just asking for you to go and talk to them. For you to have a conversation where maybe they'll start coming back to church. Maybe they'll start to worship the Lord. Maybe they'll start to put their faith in Jesus Christ, which would be the best thing for anyone. You never know what the Lord is doing to change people's hearts and minds, but when you say, I'll do it later, you may just never have that option. Lives are short. Some of them are longer than others, but we don't know how many days people have, and we don't know the situations that they're going through. But if the Lord is calling you, and you say, I'll do it later, you may just miss your opportunity. You may just miss it. And we don't want to miss it, because that's a lost soul. That's a broken life who Jesus loves, and He wants you, maybe. Whatever that small act might have been, you might just change everything for them. But only if you say yes now, when He's calling you. The first category of excuses to avoid as you follow Jesus is comfort and safety. Don't do that. Take the risk. And the second is timing. Do it right now. And the third comes in the third man. He says, still another, I will follow you, Lord. Great start. Great first five words. The next two, not so much. But first, let me go back and say goodbye to my family. Let me go back and say goodbye to my family. Other translations say, let me go back to say goodbye to those at my home. But either way, this man is saying, you know, I will follow you, Jesus, but first, let me go talk to my family and my friends and make sure it's okay. I will go and follow you, but first, let me make sure that it's okay for me to follow you. Make sure I don't have anything left to take care of at home. Make sure I don't have anything left to do with the people at my house. Let me just check first. I'll follow you, but first. And Jesus rebukes him and says, no one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. What Jesus is saying is you just say, I will follow you. Send someone and tell my family that I'm going. I will follow you. Because what this man is saying truly is like, I will follow you, but telling goodbye to my family is more important to me than following you. We don't know where his house was. We don't know where his family was. What we know is that Jesus was on the road to Jerusalem, along with probably hundreds and thousands, maybe even thousands of people, and he saw a man, and he says, I will follow you. But then he says, oh, I have to go home to do it first. His home's probably not right next door. His home is likely a couple days' travel. And you know what? How do you find one man when you don't have a cell phone to say, hey, where are you at? Let me give you my AirTag, Jesus. I'll catch up. I'll follow you, but first let me go somewhere else first. And then I'll follow you if I can find you ever again in my whole life. We don't read it like that. It doesn't sound like that. It says, oh yeah, no big deal. I'll just drive, you know, the 3 miles to my house and I'll say, hey, Ashley, hey, Carly, Joshua, Rose, I love you guys so much, but Jesus is telling me that I have to go somewhere and so I'll be back and then I'll just drive and keep going. No, this is a man who says, I'm going to go the other way for a little while and then maybe if I ever catch up to you again, I will follow you. Because these other commitments that I have are more important than following you. These other commitments that I have are more important to me than following you. The third category of excuses to avoid as we follow Jesus is out outside commitments. Outside commitments. Because Jesus hears this rebuke, his excuse, and says, if you say you're going to follow me, and then you turn back, it's ridiculous. Because that means the things that you're turning back to are more important than the cross. You're more important than following God to you. These three men, I don't believe, truly believed that Jesus was who he said he was, and they were not committed to following him. They made excuses because these other things were more important to them than following Jesus. There's so many things that demand our attention, and they want us to commit to him. Our employers want us to be committed to our work. Our kids and our grandkids want us to be committed to go to all of their sporting events. All of them, even if they're on Sunday mornings. We're committed to go camping. We've got to use our spot that we have at the fairgrounds, that if we get rid of it, well, man, and it'll never come back. It'll take like 5 years to get back my camping spot. I'm committed to go on vacation. I'm committed to go to these family functions. I'm committed to go to lunch at my favorite lunch spot, and it closes at noon, so Pastor better be short today. We have commitments that far too often are more important to us than following God. It's easy to say that. It's easy to say it. And even Christians say it all the time. This happened to me just this last weekend. I went on vacation last week. Hope you enjoyed Dave Burkholder. He's really been a blessing for me. Little short aside, I'm going to be starting to work with LifeWise here in Wauseon for the 4th, 5th, and 6th graders teaching them. So he came and talked to you about what LifeWise is. I'm going to start working for him. He's my boss now. So now I have two bosses, the Lord, aka this church, and then also Dave is going to be my boss for LifeWise. And so I'm going to be doing that this fall because I said yes. And you know what? This church comes first and serving God comes first, even though it would be a lot easier for me to say, I'm busy raising my children and taking care of my church. I can't go do this thing that I feel like God is calling me to do. I feel called to teach more people. I don't know why. I don't really want to. Be a lot easier if I said no, but here we are. I've started already doing all the training. It's all great. Serving God is life. If you've got more questions about that, I'd love to talk to you later. But it's easy for a lot of people to say no, to do what God is calling to. This last week, I was on vacation, as I said, and I was with my family. And I love my family. My younger brother is a pastor in Colorado. My sister works as the creative arts director at her church. My older brother used to write daily devotionals. And my dad was my Sunday school teacher, and he leads this session at their church, which is like our ad board. And my mom was my Sunday school teacher, and she's been the treasurer since I can remember. They're faithful Christians. They love God. They encourage me. They give me great advice. They help me in my struggles and all these things. And this past Saturday, I asked everybody, hey, we're going to go find a church to go to this Sunday. You want to come with us? And you know what all of them told me? Can you guess? Can you guess? I'm on vacation. I'm on vacation. I love them. But outside commitments are more important on that Sunday than following the Lord and going to a church and learning about things. And just, you know, me and Ashley went to this random church, and it wasn't awesome, but we were there and we were thankful that we were in God's house. Even though Rose was next between me and Ashley the entire time because she wouldn't go into their nursery. Even though Carly was the only kid in their Sunday school, we were still at this little bitty church. And we learned some things and about the Lord, but then also about, wow, we actually are better at what we think we are at our church because this was really uncomfortable. And the people there didn't even greet us. And we're this brand new family of five, and they said, hi, how are you? And then they never talked to us again. I didn't even know where to take my kids until somebody saw us meandering around the hallway, and nobody told us until
like
2 minutes before the service, oh, we have a children's service over here. And to get there, you have to go through the office and go sneak around and over here, and it's sketchy. Like, I'm glad for these little classrooms over here. But anyways, I went to church even though I was on vacation. Well, my family said no. How many of you have ever said no to going to church ever on a Sunday since you've been following Jesus? Ever. Any Sunday in your life, have you missed church? If you've missed church for any reason in your whole life, raise your hand. All right. If you didn't raise your hand, the Lord wants to correct you and say that you've done this, and it's okay, but I'm calling you to greater. Not just about church, but about following Him. There's nothing more important than serving Him. Yes, there are times when we miss church to serve the Lord. Yes, there are times when we don't go to this thing because we're doing something else. But the Lord is calling you as He calls you to serve Him and to follow Him. It's not just here. There's good reasons to not be at church if you're serving the Lord and being faithful. Celebrating family's weddings. It's a good reason to not be at church. But maybe not this church, you just go to a different one. And if you miss church altogether for whatever reason, maybe you go online and watch it. We put it online. But so often people make excuses and then they never come back to follow. Three categories of excuses to avoid as you follow Jesus. First, comfort and safety. It's not safe. Might be risk. Second, it's timing. Now here's the question I have for you. Why in the world are these men making these excuses? Why in the world are these men making these excuses? And why do we make these excuses? I'm reminded of a passage in the book of Matthew. It says this in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 to 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Although these individuals, these three men, are introduced to God, and they say that He is God, and they say that they're following Him, they don't do the will of the Father. They don't follow Him. The motivation behind their excuse was their lack of faith in Jesus Christ. These individuals, I truly don't believe, were disciples. They were not disciples at this time. And so without a repentant and transformed heart, they had no motivation to follow Jesus. They may have called Jesus Lord, they may have known it, but their faith wasn't genuine. They may have thought they were just followers, but their excuses show otherwise. And I know this can happen to anyone because it happened to me. When I was a kid, I grew up in a great church. We'd sing the hymns and we'd do all the stuff. And I had to go to all these things because my mom was a Sunday school teacher and my dad was a Sunday school teacher. So I had to do it. But I didn't know Jesus, and I hated it the whole time. I'm like, why am I here? I hate it. And every time I could come up with an excuse to get out of something, to do it for the church, I did it. Maybe, I can't do that. I have to go mow my grandma's house, even though I've been able to do that all week. I'm going to go do it now during this church function. I can't do that. I have got a basketball tournament that I'm going to sign up for just so I don't have to go to church camp. I can't do this because I didn't care. I didn't like being at church, but my mom and dad made me go. They called it a drug problem because they drugged me to church. Even though I didn't do any of those drugs and stuff, I was a good boy. Mostly because I knew if my mom... She might have sent me to the Lord before I was ready, if I was. But I didn't care up until I changed. I went to a church camp because my girlfriend was going and I thought good things were going to happen to me with her. And it turns out that good things happened to me, but not with her, but with him. And I met the Lord, and I learned about how much he cares for me. And I learned what it means to be a true follower of Jesus, and it changed everything. There are still times when I do make excuses, but now I see that they're sinful rather than the pattern of my life that I just can't help but do. Because I learned about the love of God. I learned about the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And because I love him so much, I just can't help but serve him. Because he loves me so much, I can't help but love him back. I can't help but follow him. And what is the gospel? The gospel says that Jesus Christ, shortly after this passage, went to Jerusalem and he was found guilty of a crime he did not commit, and he was hung on a cross as an innocent man. And on that cross, the Lord Jesus Christ took upon himself the punishment for your sins and for my sins. And he died to fulfill God's covenant with man. He was buried in a tomb, but 3 days later he rose again from the dead. And he triumphed over death and the grave. And then he taught his disciples that if you believe in him, you shall not perish, but have eternal life. That his blood covers the debt that we all owe because of our sin. And all we have to do to receive this amazing grace of God is to believe in Jesus as our Lord and Savior and decide to follow him. Because he loves us, because he loves you, he invites you to come just as you are, broken, sinful, and say, Lord, I will follow you. Take me as I am. And he does, and he makes you a new person. He renews your heart and mind and helps you by giving you the Holy Spirit to help, who's our helper and guide. God, the Holy Spirit, lives inside of you if you believe in Jesus. And then the Holy Spirit helps you to follow. Jesus made it so easy for us to be saved. All we have to do is believe. And what comes next is the hard part. To stop making excuses and to follow. Not, even if it's risky, even if it's uncomfortable, even if the timing doesn't seem right to you, even if you have other commitments, will you decide to follow him? Will you put down your excuses and say, Jesus, yes, I will follow you? Will you say, regardless of anything else, I will follow you? Jesus is inviting you to do that today. If you've never put your faith in Jesus Christ before, Jesus wants to know, will you follow me? Will you follow me? All you have to do is say, Lord, I believe. I believe that you are Lord. If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you'll be saved. It's that simple. He loves you. He cares for you. He wants you to know him. Believe and be saved. And then what comes next is the hard part, following. Following. It says in the book of Romans 12, verse 1, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, in view of the gospel, in view of the saving grace of Jesus Christ, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Jesus invites us to follow him. Because when we make excuses, we are not offering our bodies as a living sacrifice. When we make excuses about if it's not safe or comfortable, I won't do it, we are not living a holy life. When we make excuses about, Lord, I'll do it, but just not right, we are not living a pleasing life. When we say, Lord, I will do it, but not, I have outside commitments that I'm stuck with, this is not true and proper worship. If you are making excuses about following God, you're not following God. But in light of God, in view of God's mercy, will you decide to follow Him? There are three categories of excuses we looked at today to avoid following Jesus: comfort and safety, timing, and outside commitments. Will you decide to stop making excuses? You don't have any good reason to. Will you instead commit to following Jesus? Let's pray together. God, thank you for today and the opportunity we have to worship you and to serve you. We pray, Lord, that you'll help us to follow you. That you will open up our hearts and minds to see any excuses in our life and to say, Lord, I give them to you. I don't want to make excuses anymore. I just want to follow you. Lord, if there's anyone who's never received you, we pray that you will turn in their hearts towards you. If they've made that decision this morning, we pray that you'll bless them and help them as they take the next step to continue to follow you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.